Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We have a show for you. We're going to reflect on the combine. I want to bring you some of my favorite interviews from there, quotes and sounds from the combine. Definitely looking forward to bringing you that. We have to get into some of the news with Derrick Henry, with Ryan Tannehill, Jeffrey Simmons. There's a lot to talk about, so we'll get into that. Talk a little shop with Chris Sanders. We got David James over there making it happen. I am just very appreciative of the opportunity to bring this show to you guys. It's something that I look forward to each and every week. As you know, I'm of the never stop recording mindset. That's how we do it, and we're just going to keep bringing it to you. And I guess what we'll do is we'll start off with some of this news here that we had coming along. Just this past weekend, I had reported that Jeffrey Simmons had cleaned his Instagram account of Titans videos, pictures, and he unfollowed the Titans. And then soon after that, Jeffrey deleted his IG. He deactivated his Twitter as well. Hey, man, at least he's still following T-Rack before he got rid of all that. But all jokes aside, I want to get into this defensive tackle market. And things are beginning to get very, very interesting. Now, we know there have been some negotiations between Jeffrey Simmons' camp and the Titans. That's something that has been reported. But if you look overall at the other things happening, right? Jordan Radnor reported on Wednesday. Well, the Giants GM came out and said it. They are in negotiations with Dexter Lawrence, D-tackle, on a long-term deal. Now, if you remember, Dexter Lawrence was in that same draft as Quinnen Williams, as well as Jeffrey Simmons. So these guys are all in a similar situation to where they're playing on the fifth-year option, but want long-term stability. And I will say this, as these deals continue to happen, they're going to set the floor for each other. So when you look at Dexter Lawrence, he and the Giants, they're in negotiation for a long-term deal. You had the Washington Commanders who placed the franchise tag on Deron Payne, and they said that they're looking to get a deal done with him. They placed the tag on him to show him that they're serious about making sure that he's with the team. You also have Quinnen Williams, who reportedly, I mean, Joe Douglas said it at the Combine. He mentioned how things are. In fact, you know what? Let's go to Joe Douglas right now. This is what Joe Douglas had to say.
Yeah. So, you know, we've had several good discussions with Nicole and Quinnen since the season. And we feel really good about where we're at. And, again, feel good that this process is going to play out in the right way.
So you heard that. I mean, he said he and Nicole Lynn, who is Quinnen Williams' agent, they have had solid talks, and they're confident that things are going to work out the right way. I think that's important that you focus on what he said, the right way. Quinnen Williams has had a solid season. He had an outstanding season this past year. No mistake about it. But as we continue to look at these guys and you stack them up against Jeffrey Simmons, I think Simmons has every right to ask for the money that these guys are getting. Then you add into that Javon Hargrave. He had 11 sacks this past year. Clearly, someone who had an impact on the interior part of the defensive line. He's going to have his deal. Trying to rake my mind to think of some of the other deals that you have coming. I mean, this is something where, you know, you look at how this thing continues to work out. It would be best for the Titans to get ahead of this and get a deal done. But the question is, what will that deal look like? That's the big question. And when you look at how things were as far as the previous contracts, right? You look at DeForest Buckner. Actually, let's look it up. Defensive tackles. We'll look at just their contracts recently. Now, you have the Aaron Donald money. That's something that I don't think anybody really can look at. Chris Jones as well. These are different guys, man. They're different. But I think when you look at DeForest Buckner, 4 years, $84 million. His average value was $21 million. Guaranteed at signing was $39 million. Then you go to Jonathan Allen. Now, granted, this DeForest Buckner deal was signed in 2020. There is a thing called inflation. So I would imagine a deal like that now would have better numbers. You look at Jonathan Allen in 2021, 4 years, $72 million. He had $31 million guaranteed. Let's keep scrolling down and look at some of these other guys of relevance. You got Cam Hayward, 4 years, 65 with $20 million guaranteed. Now that would, be a slap in the face to Jeffrey Simmons. But just looking at some of these deals, so I guess we'll look at the DeForest Buckner, Jonathan Allen one. Those are the ones to really hone in on. And both of them were four-year deals. And Buckner was 25 when he signed the deal. Allen was 26. And again, it's a four-year deal, $39 and $31 million guaranteed. I think, it's reasonable for Jeffrey Simmons to look for an increase from that, right? Because, when you look at Simmons, he's 25 years old. Right. And so he's his birthday. Let's see exactly when his birthday is. So that way we know fully. I mean, he'll be no older than 26 when camp starts. So, yeah, he was July 28th. That's his birthday, July 28th. So he'll turn 26 when camp starts. So you're still getting a young player. And the Titans know, the value that he brings. And I think if you look at some of the other guys that are there to get deals, again, Jeffrey Simmons, he definitely compares to them. And when you look just overall, obviously the sacks are a big thing, and he's gotten sacks, hasn't gotten double digits, right? But, I mean, you look at what he has done over the last 2 years. I mean, this past year, the guy played on that bad ankle. And we know what he said at the end, how much he wants to play for his guys and how much he loves his team. This organization preaches team first. Jeffrey Simmons, he lived it, right? He played through the injuries and he went through and he didn't have the double-digit sacks, but he still had an impact. There were multiple times we saw him. How many D-tackles are you going to drop into coverage, right? Go back to the Washington game. He and Tierra Tart, who's a restricted free agent as well. I would imagine he gets a second round tender. That's what I would place on him, which would get him at about $3 million a year. I would definitely do that with Tart. But you look, both of those guys drop back into coverage in a goal line situation against Washington. And speaking of that Washington game, it was one of the best three rep series that I've seen in quite some time by Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, you had the completion to Terry McLaurin, and he ran down the field. He broke about 700 tackles, and he was running down the field, and Jeffrey Simmons tackled him. I think it was like 20-something yards down the field. Very next play, Carson Wentz rolls out to the left. Simmons was lined up on the right, which is, Wentz's left, and he rolled out, and he was trying to turn the corner. He couldn't do it because 98 forced him out of bounds. Then the next play, just him being on the field, to me, that was enough. So, I think when you look at that, you go back and you look at the Bengals game, the way he dominated that game. We're talking about the Bengals divisional win over the Titans, where the team had 9 sacks. Two of them, it would have been 2 more sacks, but they were called back due to unrelated penalties. You look at the Rams game, right? They won without Derrick Henry. Primetime game on the road in L.A., right? And they were able to pull out the win. And you look how Jeffrey Simmons, how he's able to impact, right, the quarterback, make him either make a bad throw or rush throw that gets picked off, or sometimes he'll bull rush the interior guys, the guards or centers, into the quarterback and tip the ball. Either way, some of the things that Simmons does on Sunday would warrant him being arrested because it's a pure violation. But it's fun to watch, So I think when you look at this whole thing, I know the Titans, they want to get the deal done. They obviously have to make sure it's a manageable, a palatable deal with all the money that's being spent to get into this stadium. But I tell you what, you get that money back because 98 jerseys, you see them all over the field, the stadium rather. And then in addition to that, he's a guy that's going to sell tickets. You buy tickets to go see Jeffrey Simmons. Another guy you buy tickets to go see is Derrick Henry. And we know Mike Silver, he's very well sourced. He's a guy, man, being out and about at the Combine, last week. Oh, I ran into him and saw him multiple times. And trust me, he's talking to people without a doubt. He had to report that the Titans were shopping Derrick Henry. Now, when you look at shopping, there's many ways that you can interpret that. It could mean aggressively like, hey, listen, we're trying to move him. What are you willing to get? Or it could be, hey, listen, I'm out of curiosity. Like, what would you give me for Derrick Henry? There's different ways to interpret shopping. And then you had Jonathan Jones, who had to report that the Titans were not shopping Derrick Henry. I reached out to some sources, and they just didn't touch it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, I mean, if that's a trade that happens, then you know what? So be it. It's just something that they have to do. And, again, this team is a bit restricted on the cash flow side of things. That's why, as Jarrett Stillman reported, they are not going to be high rollers in the free agent market. They have a lot of needs, though. So we'll see, you know, how that continues to go out. I would imagine they won't be involved in anything in the first wave, maybe the second or third waves. You know, we're talking about lower-cost free agents. They need receivers. They need offensive linemen. But getting back to Henry, you look at this draft, right? And I will tell you, they did have a former with Bijan Robinson. Now, I'm not saying take him at 11, but, I mean, if you're able to move off of 11 and go back a little bit, I could see that as a pick to make. And now this gives you – he's very similar as far as a complete back to Saquon Barkley, you know, and he's that home run hitter. So playmakers, they mean things, right? I know there's a big running back devaluation that is going on, but – there isn't a devaluing of playmakers, and that's what Bijan Robinson, that's what Derrick Henry is. It's one of those things where you have to wonder, okay, are they going to get out of this a year early with Derrick Henry, or, you know, do they risk being a year late? If they get rid of Henry next year, like if they don't bring him back next year, then you're looking at a little over $4 million in money that you would have to pay next year to get rid of him. This year, obviously, you know, it's a bigger number. Not sure what he would warrant on the open market, but that is something to definitely monitor. And it's something that Derrick Henry preluded, right, to. He said it on Bussin' with the Boys. You know, I'm 29. That's considered old for a running back. Maybe the next guy that comes in wants to, you know, move on. Maybe I could be next. At least he understands the business side of it. Whatever should happen, Derrick Henry, in my opinion, goes down as the best pure, solely Titans player this franchise has had. And I firmly believe, and I will wring Paul Kaharsky's neck if he doesn't fight hard for Derrick Henry to go into the Hall of Fame 5 years after he retires. That's a joke on you, PK. You know what the job that you have to do is. But, yeah, it's going to be something watching this offseason play out. And I just say, Titans fans, buckle up, because you also have the Ryan Tannehill situation that, right, the thing with that, let's start with this. The Titans have not outright come out and said they're going to move on from Ryan Tannehill. There's a progression. Rand Carthon, when he first spoke, he said he wanted to watch Tannehill a little more, and form an opinion, but he did acknowledge that he won a lot of games. And then you heard Rand Carthon at the Combine. He seemed a bit, not frustrated but or irritated, but he seemed like he wanted to kind of aggressively speak on it. And he said, you know, I just want to speak freely for a second. And he said Ryan Tannehill is under contract. He said he's excited about moving forward with him. Now, you could take that as how you want it. And then he also said this is really what you have to focus in on. He said that he's a Titan, and he said for now. So you have to wonder what that for now being added was for. We know Todd Downing has moved on to the Jets. He had a phone call with Derek Carr, but Derek Carr ended up signing with the Saints. Who knows? Maybe that connection will be used to get Ryan Tannehill to the Jets. I don't know what the Titans would warrant, but if they're considering trading some of their top guys, I think Tannehill will probably get them the best return on the investment. Just not sure what that would be. Then you had the rookie quarterbacks. Obviously, the Titans, they're at 11 to move up to the top three, which is, I think, what it's going to take to get one of those top three quarterbacks to move up to those top three picks. Monty Austin Ford, I asked him at the combine about being able to move off of three if his door was open, his phone was ready. And he said that they're open to deals. So there's a lot going on. And then we have in 1 week the legal tampering period. This NFL thing, it never stops. It never does. And I'm going to tell you another guy that never stops. That's Chris Sanders. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll come right back and talk a little shop. Run TMC. We'll be right back. What's up, everyone? This is Teron Davenport. I want to tell you about Sarah Chevrolet Buick GMC of Nashville. They took great care of me when I got my brand new Camaro. They have hundreds of new or gently pre-owned vehicles, special discounts, and monthly incentives. They don't have any market adjustments, zero dealer ads. Save, save, save. You could go online to chat, check availability, and purchase your vehicle without ever stepping foot into the dealership. Or you could go there and see my guy, Josh Lemon. Either way, check them out at sarahnashville.com. That's S-E-R-R-A, nashville.com. And tell them TD sent you.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Yeah, let me get them strings.
Oh, boy.
As the music fades, the lights dim. Yeah, we're going to go to the West Coast. And now, coming to you live from Seattle, Washington. Starting at power forward. For your Supersonics, number 50, Michael Cage.
And now, starring for the Washington Commanders at wide receiver, Art Monk.
And coming to you extra from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. Mr. Randy Watson.
Sexual chocolate, man. Come on, man. You can't. Why are you sitting here? How you doing, man?
Yo, what's the word, man? I'm chilling, man. You know, a cup of coffee and two water bottles in me, man. I'm feeling really good.
Hey, ain't it just good to just be alive, man? You know what I'm saying? Just to talk about football and
high on life, man.
Absolutely, man. But I'm kind of sad right now, man. Uh-oh. You know what I'm saying?
What's going on?
Don't tell me they're going to trade Derrick Henry.
Oof.
Don't tell me, man. I mean, come on, man. Don't ease into it. Talk to him and talk to your boy. But don't say it ain't so. I mean, that's the king. We talk about the king, man.
Listen.
Not the king of pop, but we talk about the king of the Titans, man.
Not the king, the Kang.
The Kang. Eddie Kang. Don't
Look,
say
man,
it ain't so.
I will say this. Michael Silver is very, very well connected.
Right.
And it's funny because after seeing that report, like I remember seeing him in Prime 47, and I could run off the top of my head three GMs that he was talking to, you know. So I firmly believe what he's bringing to the forefront is true. But it's one of those things, and I talked about it in the previous segment. What's the definition of shopping? Right? Is it going up to everybody, you know, right? Like calling everybody saying, hey, I'm looking to move, Derek. What, you know? Or is it, hey, what would you be willing to give me for Derrick Henry if I decided to move on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's different ways to, yeah. And Jonathan Taylor, Jonathan Johnson, I think his name is.
It's
a darn shame I messed it up because it's like an actual homie of mine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was just going through notes, and Jonathan Taylor's name is fresh in my mind. It's Jonathan Jones. That's his name.
Okay.
But he's, you know, an up-and-comer, well-connected, et cetera, and he refuted the report.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, you know, in reaching out to the people that I did, you know, I didn't get anything to sway me to the left or to the right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where you almost If you're not doing it, you're not doing your job.
Yeah. You know what I'm looking at, TD, is, you know, Ray Carthon came from the 49ers. Everybody knows his track record with the 49ers. I mean, he had running backs by committee, okay? Mm-hmm. He had McCaffrey, he had Michaels, he had Wilson. You know, McCaffrey had 746 yards. Michaels had 279 yards. He had Wilson, they had 468 yards. That added up to 1,493. That's three players, and you're not playing a whole bunch of money for one back. You got three backs that's in a row. Now you have Henry that has 1,538, and he's one back. So do you think that with Rand Carthon coming here, do you think he's trying to build it that way, also have running back by committee and let, you know, Derrick Henry go because they don't want to pay, you know, Henry that much money?
I wonder if that is the case. You know, and the thing is, when I look at those numbers, though, Derrick's 1,500 is different.
You know what I mean?
Because you have those home runs that he hits. Now, granted, right. McCaffrey hit a couple of those himself. Jeff Wilson is capable. And Elijah Mitchell, you know, we heard the story. And a funny side story, right? I asked Mike McDaniel about that, right? And actually, I asked Rand about that, the analytics. And he said, oh, yeah, by the way, the guy that put that tape together and brought it to me, his name was Mike McDaniel. So I asked Mike McDaniels about that, and he got a good laugh out of it. But, I mean, I get what you're saying. It's just for me, when I look at that, it's different with Derrick, you know, and Derrick Henry, Bijan Robinson, who the Titans, by the way, they had a formal meeting with him out there at the combine. That's something that's kind of floating under the radar. Nobody has said that, but yeah, they had a formal. These are guys, Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook.
These are
guys, in my opinion, who supersede the running back not having value moniker. Why? Because they're playmakers.
No, not just playmakers, TD, impact players. You're talking about game changers. There's a difference between, okay, you make a couple of runs here and there. Because if you look at this league, TD, any back can get 1,000 yards. You got 16 games. You get 50 to 60 yards a game. You're getting 1,000 yards. I mean, that's what you're getting. But you're talking about guys that changed the game. Look at Saquon when they played the Tennessee Titans the first game. Who took over the game the second half?
That 65-yard run changed everything.
It changed the game. Look at Derrick Henry when they played the Jacksonville Jaguars a couple of years ago when they were getting ready to go to it was Baltimore Ravens. They were giving go overtime, and Derrick Henry hit a home runner for like 46 yards. It changed the game, and they won.
Oh, that was the jump cut on top of jump cut.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So when you're talking about a guy that's an impact player, he changed the stinking game, TD. Yep.
And that's the thing that makes me curious, because we know Rand Carthon, he played the position. He understands the impact that a running back can have.
Right.
But then at the same time, I think when you look at all of this, so I think it's, $10 million they would save. The thing that I really wonder about is how cash-strapped are the Tennessee Titans, right, because of this stadium. You know, how much extra money are they able to put into this thing, right? How big of a check can Miss Amy stroke for some of these free agents, right, with the guaranteed money where you got to stroke that check right then and there? So I get what you're saying. It could save money from that aspect.
Yeah, but then, you know what I looked at too, Big Dog, is I remember when Carthon was talking in the – I think it was at the Combine. We were just talking about that Haskins and those guys need opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just covering all the bases. If you look at the situation with Derrick Henry, 2016, Henry was behind DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray in 2016 had 1,200 yards, 87. Henry had 490. In 2017, Henry had 744 yards. 2018, he had 1,059 because he started to get opportunities. Because you remember that year, they were thinking about releasing him or trying to trade Henry. But once Henry got the opportunity, then that's when he could shine. Could this be the same scenario with Haskins waiting in the wing to where he can get the opportunity to maybe take reins of this Titans offense?
It could be. I think Haskins is waiting in the wings. I tell you what, there's another guy, Kendre Miller from TCU. If you get to watch, that's a home run hitter.
Even Chase Brown from Illinois.
Yeah, him too. You know, but the thing I like about Miller is you're talking about 5'11", 225.
Yeah. Oh, hey, another dude. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but Gibbs from Alabama now.
Yeah. Now, that's just – he got gas. So there are guys that you could put into the mix and give you different elements. I'm curious how they go about building that.
I know.
And it's just, that's a big bomb.
It
that
is.
That would drop, big bomb. You know, but and you know, go ahead.
No, you're I'm sorry. But you know what? And I didn't mean to rush. I'm sorry, TD. But everybody's talking about how rich the tight end position is, how rich the receiving is, and how rich, you know, the quarterback, the top three. But the running back position is loaded, man. I want you to elaborate on that, man.
Yeah, it is deep. And there's a guy I'm working to get him on the show, Tavion Thomas, out of Utah, who is a bigger back. He's not the same type of home run hitter that Miller is from TCU, but he's still, you know, he could change direction. You know what I mean? He's big. He's a guy that could give you like that Deontay Foreman type of presence, right?
Like
in the running back side of things. So.
Yeah.
That's a good – it is deep. I mean, you got Kenny McIntosh from Georgia. I mean, we could go on and on. Devin Ashane from it slipped my mind. A&M. This is a dude that brings plenty – and he can catch out of the backfield.
Yep.
So, yeah, it is very deep. But the thing is for me, right, I look at imaging, you know, and I think if this team were to trade Derrick Henry, that puts so much more – emphasis on signing Jeffrey Simmons.
Oh, 100%.
It's just 100%. About the message. If Simmons isn't signed, that sends a bad message to the locker room.
Bad
message. Because you look at the guys, right? Jonnu Smith, Corey Davis, these guys came in. Obviously, Corey Davis didn't live up to the fifth overall pick moniker, but he still was productive.
He was.
Right? Didn't get another deal. Jonnu Smith came in, developed into an outstanding player, didn't get a deal. Now, those two, we had AFC East teams come in and scoop them up with pretty astounding deals. But then you got, keep it roll, AJ.
I know.
Right? AJ came in, and you mean to tell me $2 million kept you? Because
I know.
It was said that it was offered up to 20. All AJ wanted was 22. You mean to tell me $2 million kept? And so now if you turn around and you have Jeffrey Simmons not get signed?
That's unbelievable, man.
Yeah. So that is something to look at from the locker room perspective. But just what impact do you think a Derrick Henry trade would have on that locker room, though?
I mean, it'll be disappointing. I mean, it'll be like a big shock, like a 2.5 on the Richter scale, because it's going to shake up everything. But at the end of the day, I think that – when you start to get the mini camp and OTAs and all that stuff, they got to realize that it's a business. Because I'm going to tell you, when I learned that it was a business, there's two incidents when I found it was a business. I was bowling at the bowling alley in Franklin Lanes, and I'm getting ready to get my Barney Rubble on, so I'm about to give me a strike. So I get ready to get a strike, and I look up at ESPN, and I'm looking up at the screen. It says, Chris Sanders get cut from the Tennessee Titans. I'm like, I'm sitting about to bowl a strike. I dropped the ball and just went in the car like, what is going on? And then another incident when I know it was a business is when Eddie George did get signed back and he played with the Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys. And then another situation when you have Chris Johnson, he got 2,000 yards, he's playing with the Jets.
Yeah.
That shows you, I don't care who you are. And then can I just go down the list again? Emmitt Smith with the Arizona Cardinals. Ooh. That didn't even look. Jerry Rice with the Raiders and the Seattle Seahawks. These are guys that changed their franchise. So this isn't new that's going on.
Right.
It's just that what's best for the team on how the general manager and the head coach see it.
Yeah. You know the one that killed me? I'll give you three that killed me.
Okay.
Thurman Thomas in a Miami Dolphins uniform.
Oh,
Andre Reed playing for the then. Now, Andre Reed is my favorite receiver ever, so I took this one personally. Not only did he not get to wear number 83, he was in a then Washington Redskins uniform, number 84. It's disgusting. And they had the audacity to have Bruce Smith go there with him. Sickening, man. Sickening.
But that's it. You're the business, TD.
Yeah, exactly.
It don't matter who you are. Dude, I'm getting ready to bowl a strike. I'm getting my game on. Chris, you're out of here. That's how I found out.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, Bud Dupree, he said the report came out that they were expecting to release him. He said, damn, I found out on Twitter. It's crazy.
But you got to take the emotions out of it. You have to. You got to laugh, because here's the thing. I've learned, if you get on social media and start dogging a team and putting them down, you never know. You might need that team later on.
What do you make, getting back to Simmons, what do you make of him just deactivating all of his social media?
Yeah, I think that we need to, and this is my opinion, you correct me if I'm wrong, I think we really need to be alarmed about that, and I'm going to tell you why. Because last year, when the same situation about the contract talks, he didn't take that stuff down. But this year, situation is going on. Why did he take it down? Because I know, you know, a lot of guys are using that to get their, you know, to get the bigger deals, because A.J. Brown did that and a couple of other players did that. And now you got Jeffrey Simmons following suit. He wants to have leverage to say, you know what, I'm going to put a little bit of fear in you to say, you know what, I'm not going to be here. The fans are going to get mad, and it's going to be an uproar to make you sign me to a ginormous deal.
Yeah, I wonder if that's the case. I believe that he more or less did that to just unplug and disassociate himself from
that's a good point. The
hogwash, to use that word, that goes with this whole contract negotiation side of things. We saw how it impacted AJ last year. So
it did.
I would imagine he learned from that lesson. Jeff is a very mature player, mature man. So I think he unplugged just to get away from that. But we'll see what happens, man. There's just so much to get into. But I'm glad we were able to elaborate on those specific topics. We didn't even talk draft. You know, there's going to be prospects coming in. There's a lot of guys. I want you next week. I want to talk about Tyler Scott out of Cincinnati. I want you to check him out. Tyler Scott and Jalen Hyatt. Obviously, you've watched a lot of Hyatt, but I want you to just get into that whole bringing track speed to football speed.
I
think that's
that,
a
boss.
Really good combination and something that you know personally. So we're going to get into that next week. Make sure you guys tune in for that. Until then, for Gregory Wom, Gregory Hines, I'm Teron Davenport. We are signing out. What's up, everybody? This is Teron Davenport here for Superbook Sports, and I want you to add this to your New Year's resolutions. Win money in 2023 with Superbook Sports. Superbook has over three decades of sports wagering experience in Las Vegas, so you'll get the best odds anywhere as we head into the football playoffs. Plus, check out their special odds boosts and promotions at Superbook.com. Make 2023 the year where you win money from Vegas. Download the Superbook Sports app now and place your bets. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
This is Jefferson, and I'm talking with TD.
No, they want to see me doing bad, but I'm good.
But I'm good. Yes, yes. Talking with TD back from the break. Yo, that Larry June, that y'all hitting, man. I ain't gonna hold you.
It really does, bro. It hit, man.
You can't help but nod your head to it.
Not exactly.
We're gonna keep this thing rolling along. I wanted to bring you guys and girls just some of my favorite quotes and conversations at the Combine this past week. I always love getting the opportunity to talk shop. So we're just going to, you know, just give you a montage, man, and just keep it rolling. We'll open it up. Broderick Jones. And you know that there's a competition for who's the top tackle in this draft. Broderick Jones, I like what he said about why he's such a unique player. Here's what he had to say. Check it out where he talks about his sweet feet.
Me out a lot, just being able to have these sweet feet. I think it puts my game on the next level. Just being able to go along with all my other attributes, like, so just being able to have sweet feet, you know, starting in high school, playing all different sports, playing basketball helped me a lot. Just being able to keep, you know, just staying in sports, really, that's all it was. That's really,
you talk about
me out a lot.
So that was Broderick Jones, definitely holding court there at the podium. We're going to keep it going, and we'll go to Paris Johnson Jr. He has a really interesting story. He has said that when he was younger, he did gymnastics. Then he played soccer. He played wrestling. He played multiple positions in football, quarterback, receiver as well, before moving to offensive line. Here's Paris Johnson Jr. on his versatility.
Yeah, so I think I'm a natural tackle. But at the same time, I want to be part of the best five, you know. So if I got to learn how to snap and be the center, I'll do it. You know, that's just how I wanted to play. But I mean, I feel like for me, you know, I'm more naturally a tackle. But at the same time, though, like, you know, it took time, and it took the, all those spring practices, all the time in the fall camp. But at the same time, it was like a lot of the work, and most of the work were the things I'm doing away with, like our GA. Mike Saleni, he's helped me every day. I'm staying after him, staying after Coach Fry after every practice. I'm coming in on, you know, odd days where nobody's coming in to do that extra work. So that's the things behind the scene outside of scheduled practice to help me to get here.
Next up, we're going to shift it right to the running backs. And I this is a guy, David, that I, you know, a lot of people aren't really talking about. But when you look at options, and I mentioned him talking to Chris Sanders and Run TMC in the previous segment. If they do, they meaning the Titans, if they decide to go with a mixture of running backs, this is a guy I think they should look at. And there's an interesting comp that he gave. But we're talking about, you know, 5'11", 6 feet, 225, home run hitter, Kendre Miller out of TCU. Listen to what he said.
What makes me special, just being, you know, 6'200", and being able to move how I do is very special. And I feel like I take pride in who I am, and I know who I am. So, you know, I just need my footing to do in the NFL, and I'm just gonna show people who I am.
Are there any particular backs that you look at and you say, hey, my game is similar to?
Not really, but I've been looking at Jonathan Taylor lately, and I feel like, you know, me and him have similar aspects of my game, and you know, he's very special, and I feel like, you know, we're kind of similar in different things.
And then like Taylor, like you hit that home run a lot. Like, what is the key to being able to, you know, kind of find that crease and put the gas on when it needs to be?
Just consistency in practice, you know, just keeping my shoulders square, just going through my technique constantly during the week. And, you know, once I get the ball, just keeping my shoulders square, and then, you know, I kind of get a read of where I'm going to go just based off the line I've been playing.
Okay, so you want to talk running backs right now. This is the ultimate running back. By the way, he had a formal meeting with the Titans at the Combine. He does it all. Look, Bijan Robinson is an impressive player, but he is a guy that you don't have to take off the field. Obviously, he's going to require a first-round pick. I don't know if the Titans have the luxury of being able to use that pick on Robinson, but if you can manufacture picks, then you could do it. But here's Bijan Robinson on how he's able to do everything.
Well, for first of all, you know, I feel that if you're a guy that can, you know, do all three, you know, on the football field for your offense, I think that's a very special quality, you know, in a player. Whether it's, you know, you can line a player at receiver, at slot, or obviously at running back. But just creating mismatches for defenders all over the field and being able to, you know, create space, you know, for yourself and create space for the offense and opening up the offense, I think that just like a high value that I think that everybody should look at. And I know there's a lot of running backs in this class that have that quality. So I think that it's important to, you know, see you know, those kind of skill sets and just how, you know, we go about our business on the field.
You heard who brought us in, right? Jeffrey Simmons. We've talked about him extensively. These next couple guys are ones that, you know, if the Titans draft him, they're going to have to see Jeffrey Simmons in training camp. And, hey, whatever works. But if the Titans don't trade Derrick Henry, this next guy, Osiris Torrence, who is a guard out of Florida, I've talked about him before. You watched the Georgia game, had a solid appearance against Jalen Carter, and we know he's a top player. But here's Torrence talking about a certain back that he would love to block for.
That'd be great. I mean, I love running the ball. I mean, I love just being physical, and then him being the running back he is. I mean, that's one of my favorite running backs in the league. So being able to block for him and then protect him and create holes for him and help him get to his goals of being continue to prove he's one of the best in the league has been great. I love to do it.
And we're going to remain in the interior moving forward. John Michael Schmitz out of Minnesota. He had an impressive Senior Bowl. Very intellectual player. If Ben Jones retires, this is a guy that I think would be a very adequate fill-in. So naturally, I wanted to get him to talk a little bit about being a quarterback of the offensive line. I like how he took that seriously. Check it out.
You take a lot of pride. I mean, you're truly the middle guy in the group. You got your left side, you got your right side, and you're the guy that sees the whole picture. You're the guy that lets the line know that you're in command, that you're the leader, that you're in charge of all the communication that goes up front. So the whole line sees it. Five guys seen it as one, so everyone's on the same page. So by taking control of that unit, you're the leader that is either going to make it a battle line or a good line at the end of the day. I mean, that center is sets a tone up front of what that O-line is going to be. And you're going to be a tough O-line or not.
All right, so we mentioned, right? We mentioned Broderick Jones. We mentioned Paris Johnson Jr. You know who else is in the mix with that? Peter Skoronski. And anytime you mention his name, they talk about the short arms and why he has to play guard. Rashawn Slater did a pretty solid job at tackle last year with short arms. So I asked him about that. Here's what he had to say.
Teams have been pretty open about that. No one has really sat me down and been like, oh, you can't play tackle for us. Teams have just kind of asked me where I see myself. I've said that I'm a tackle, I can play tackle, but more than willing to play anywhere. And teams have talked about versatility for sure, too. And so if I move them to guard, I'm happy to do that. But yeah, no one has really said, oh, you have to play guard, you have to play tackle, or you can't play tackle. And no one is really boxed me in, which I'm pretty pleased about. So.
The supposed limitations of short arms, like how are you able to overcome that?
Yeah, I think, you know, arm length number doesn't really determine a great player or a great blocker. I think it's pretty irrelevant. I think, you know, some of my issues that have been chalked up to arm length are really just technical things that I can work on and try to fix. So I'm not really concerned about that. And from what I gather, a lot of teams aren't really either.
Now it's time to get into the guys on the outside. Anyone who knows me knows that receivers have a certain place in my heart. This is a guy I love to watch because the dynamic playmaking ability that he has, and that's Tennessee wide receiver Jalin Hyatt. And when you talk about Hyatt, you're talking about gas, easy gas, quick gas. This dude hits top speed like a Tesla. You know what I mean? The supercharged one. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking about the Model S, not the intro, or wait, the Model X, I think, whatever it is.
It's one of the two.
Yeah, one of the two. But either way, here's Jalin Hyatt on speed and also facing press.
Well, just knowing, you know, when I step on the field, just knowing nobody can cover me as far as with speed. Not only that, making it a threat for defenders, you know, taking advantage of that. You know, as far as when I run to them, if I do have a free release, to seeing how they backpedal, you know, they try to get out a little quicker, try to get out a little faster. And it actually sets up more stuff, you know, for digs or hooks or curls, you know, the other route tree that I have. I think the speed, man, it translates, you know, it's big for the NFL. And, you know, when I was playing the SEC, just seeing how they react and seeing defenders, DBs, safeties, just seeing how fast they'll get out, you know, you can set up a lot of more things that, you know, if you do have another route, you can do so. And not only that, beating them vertically. So it's a big, big factor for me.
And with those free releases, you had a lot of those for some reason. What will allow you to be able to excel against press in the league? Because you know you're going to face that.
Yeah. You know, going against press, you know, I did it in practice. And not only that, I had some games that I went against press. You know, when you look at my highlights and you look at things like that, you know, you can see nothing but vertical game, you know, nothing but deep passes, nothing but this and that. And then people, you know, they call me, you know, go route or he only does this and that. But, you know, if you actually really get in depth with my film, actually look at the games, you know, I have other things in there. You know, I have me running digs and catching and going. I have me scoring on slants. You know, I have me, you know, doing a lot of other things that people think that I can't do and actually being explosive with it. So, you know, like I said, I'm proud to be here at this combine so I can show, you know, on the field work when we do it, I can show I can run routes so I can do what I have to do. So, you know, I'm ready for the moment.
So, all right, you heard from Jalin Hyatt. My favorite receiver in this draft class is none other than Zay Flowers. I love his route craft, how he's able to, as Chris Sanders would say, lie with his eyes. You see him lean to the corner, bang it back into the post, turning DBs around. Here's Zay Flowers on developing route craft. And at the end, I asked him what his favorite route is. You'll like his answer.
I'm just training. Gold Feet Tevin Allen back at home in Fort Lauderdale. I train with him a lot, and we just work on everything, every route, intermediate, short, long, and we try to be deceptive with our body, eyes, and just try to get DBs and get in a blind spot and just win on the route.
Do you have a favorite route that you feel you're most productive on?
I can run every route.
So, another guy, right? Flowers is, like I said, my favorite receiver in this class, but another guy that I mentioned, you know, when we talk about speed, and we talk about not in the first round, is Tyler Scott. Now, this is a track dude. He's training actually in Florida with Redell Anthony and Yo Murphy, friends of the show. Redell, I remember in college, we ran the University of Florida. We ran the Gators offense. And I really started to like Riddell because they told me that you're going to play his spots, whether it's the X or what they call the A, multiple positions. And, yeah, man, it's pretty cool to see Tyler Scott training down there. But I wanted, knowing his track background, I wanted him to talk about how the track speed transfers to football. And he gave me a pretty interesting answer and a very intriguing correlation as well. Check it out.
So before, grew up running AAU track, started at around 6 years old, ran for West Akron Track Club. We had run every year. Denise Bryan, she was our the head coach, and had Mike Young, who was at St. Edward's High School, and he, you know, really, you know, put Trey and I under his shoulder, and been running ever since. Ran in high school as well. So,
what is it that allows you to bring that track speed to the football field? Because that doesn't always transfer.
Yeah, I think just understanding, you know, how to use it. I guess that's the biggest thing that people don't, I guess, really get. So, like, you look at, like, Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt, in the first, you know, 40, 60 meters, everyone's got him. You know, you look at that back end half, that last 40 to 60, the race is over. You know what I'm saying? So, you look at a guy, he may come out running a 40-yard dash. He may not be the, you know, fastest person, you know, here. If he runs a 40-yard dash, you go run 100 meters, he's going to be the fastest. So, in football, you know, are you really running? When's the time where you really running 100, you know, yards, where you really get a chance to really build up that speed? You know, football, it's like you got to learn how to get the top speed fast. Mm-hmm. And so one thing I really focused on when I was, you know, in high school was indoor track. I got to run it finally my senior year. We got a new track coach, and he got us into indoor track. And so my main focus was the 60, and just really learning how to get out. And that's the biggest thing. Learn how to get out and get the top speed fast. Because in football, you know, that's the biggest thing. And so being able to get the top speed fast is the big key that I think, you know, it's a lot of hard for track athletes, especially because you get a chance to build up 200-meter dash, get a chance to build up 100-meter dash, get a chance to build up. So.
All right, we talk receivers, right? Man, you can't talk receivers without mentioning Jackson Smith and Jigba. Coming into this year, he was the top guy. I think he's making a move to go back to being one of the top guys. Routes, beautiful. He had an excellent three cone, excellent short shuttle there at the combine. Very impressive performance. He didn't run the 40. Had to ask him about it and ask him just really where he was. Now, mind you, this was the day before they ran. Here's his answer about where he is physically.
Weeks ago, just trying to take things very slowly so I can, you know, close this book on, you know, this nagging hamstring or whatever. Just wanted to take it slow, you know, so we could close the book, which I feel like I have. But, you know, just haven't had enough reps in the 40 yet, just yet. So pro day, you'll see me.
I know the best thing for a hamstring is rest, but obviously you have to go out and do some things. What have you been doing to be able to come out here despite, you know, dealing with that hamstring?
Right, I mean, going to rehab every day, you know, taking care of it, you know, with the trainers, you know, that I was exposed to. Definitely did a great job. Just staying on top of it here. And, you know, and that road and that journey will keep on continuing until my career.
So we're going to flip it to the other side of the ball. This is my favorite corner. I'm not saying he's the best corner in the draft. I think Christian Gonzalez, Devin Witherspoon, it's close. But this is my favorite corner in the draft, and that's Riley Moss. And, you know, naturally people are going to make the Jason Sehorn correlation. I think that's lazy just because they're both white corners. But Moss is a very athletic man. He hit 19 miles an hour on the GPS in Mobile. He actually is out of Iowa and happened to have a certain Titans DB as a mentor when he first got to school. Check out Riley Moss.
So when I came in my freshman year in 2018, you know, he was one of the guys that, you know, kind of took me underneath his wing, you know, showed me the way, you know, how to be a college athlete and you know, watch film. And so he was a great mentor. So, and that's the best thing about, you know, Iowa football is there's guys, you know, out there willing to help you and you know, want to see you succeed.
You mentioned the nickel position, bouncing inside. how are you as far as like understanding your in space, where your help is, and those type of things?
Yeah, you know, I got my first exposure was in 2019 at Iowa, you know, in third downs, dime and nickel package. But, you know, it grew to, you know, 2020, a little bit of 2021. But, you know, it just takes reps. You know, I think that's probably the hardest position in the NFL is playing in the nickel, going against, you know, Tyreek Hill and some dudes. So, you know, you got to be ready to roll and you got to have some speed. And, you know, I think I have that. So
yeah, you mentioned the stereotypes, you know, white, right, DB. Does that, like, do you play with, does it give you a chip?
Yeah, you know, it's you know, I was a two-star recruit coming out of high school. You know, I was originally committed to North Dakota State. You know, I had no Power 5 offers. You know, it's always been me against the world, you know what I mean? And you know, that's I wake up every morning and I remind myself, people don't want you here, and you know, I'm going to go out and prove them, so.
And so let's wrap it up now. Got to talk about the edge rushers, right? We got Bud Dupree expected to be released on March 15th. One of the guys that could end up replacing him is Derek Hall out of Auburn. He was down there in Mobile, impressed, and he got to work with one of the Titans' assistants down there, a defensive assistants, and that's Clint McMillan. Unsolicited, he brought his name up. Check Derek Hall out.
Tebow's great. Like I said, being able to learn from the best, you know, over a wide variety, and not just having two staff there, learning from the best, and then had an opportunity to play against the best. You know, play with guys from a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different areas was really good for me.
Have you met with the Patriots?
The biggest thing for me was just continue to build on what I've already shown on tape, and really just putting it out there in front of those guys. So really being stout in my run defense, you know, the biggest thing for me, and then my ability just to go out and, you know, be powerful in my pass rush, you know, not be very passive, be aggressive, you know, and just really show what I can do. But I definitely learned a lot off the field when it comes to the terminology, you know, the scheme, really trying to learn that defense and, you know, really get ahead on the NFL side of the ball.
What's some of the feedback that you got back from the coaches that you worked with?
Yeah, I mean, they loved it. You know, I worked with Clint from the Titans.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that guy's a character. You know, he's very funny. He makes the job fun. So been able to have an opportunity to work with him and then work around a lot of different guys. I mean, he loved every second of it, so did I.
Yeah, and as far as your pass rush arsenal, like, what are some of your go-to moves, and what do you do, like, to work off of those?
Yeah, so I love my stab. Stabbing them more for me, and then off that stab, I can stab to a club, you know, I can stab to a raise, I can stab to a pump, I can do a lot of things like that. Then I love my speed, you know, speed chop, cross chop, chop spin. So, you know, there's a lot of different things, you know, that I feel like I do really well.
So those were some of the ones that stood out, quotes and things like that. Definitely a great opportunity to go to the combine. Some of these names that were on here that you heard from, you'll hear from those guys on Talking with TD. We're going to ramp this thing up and start getting some guests on. I'm looking forward to it. It's always a grind, David. I tell you, email after email, text after text, direct message after direct message. But, you know, we're of the moniker of whatever it takes, man.
Exactly.
You do whatever what you got to do to bring this content to you.
Exactly.
Appreciate each of you tuning in. Shout out to Chris Sanders for coming on, talking shop, run TMC. Shout out to David James, putting this thing together.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Always a pleasure. Definitely make sure each of you guys check us out. And above all else, we appreciate you guys for tuning in. Check us out, Google Podcast, Spotify, iTunes, all your fine listening podcast materials. We're there, Talking with TD. Search us. Rate, review. We appreciate you.